Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm delighted to be with you this St. Patrick's Day. I have my co-host Shirley Carter.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us. You know, when St. Patrick's Day comes in, I know spring is knocking on my door. So welcome to Hot Topics.
Yeah, I'm excited. This year is kind of zooming by real fast, and, you know, this last 2 months we've been juggling and talking about relationships, finances, money, and I tell you what, next month is April, got to have that taxes done, and people are scrambling trying to get paperwork, me included. Tonight I said we're going to talk about the power of money, 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 money. Everybody wants to have it. Everybody needs it. Everybody wants it. People get it and don't know how to keep it, Shirley.
I know. I mean, it's just like you have it and it's gone. You know, with time, everything moves so fast, and even our money. Our money is moving out of our hands fast as we get it in. And you're right. You're scrambling for papers. I need to start. Because I want to do my taxes, and I don't need Uncle Sam knocking on my door saying, you owe me.
Well, you know what? I said I have to get the very best for Hot Topics from the Soul. And my listening audience, you know that's what I do. I always bring you the very best, and tonight is no exception. I have with me Sean Saunders, who's a motivational speaker, author, a financial expert, and she is going to give us some tips about money, how to make money, how to utilize your money. And Sean, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you on the show. I've been meaning to connect with you for a while, and then when I see you, you disappear in a crowd, and I'm like, I missed her again. Because you are absolutely amazing when it comes to talk about financial matters.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, Sean, you're an author. You just released a book last year, March last year, called Covenant of Peace. Tell us about your book, Covenant of Peace.
Well, the Covenant of Peace was what I call my labor of love. And what the topic is kind of misleading because it sounds as though I'm talking about living in harmony when in actual fact I'm really talking about living in prosperity. So the book, The Covenant of Peace, is really speaking to people about the biblical principles as it applies to what it means to prosper and live in peace, because to have peace means to have balance in every area of your life, which also includes your finances. So I wrote the book because a lot of Christian people really are afraid of money. A lot of people, Christian people, have been led to believe that to have money is a bad thing, and if you have too much money, you're going to go to hell because you can't get through the eye of a needle like a camel, et cetera, et cetera. So the whole idea is, in the book, is to show you that because it is so important, God established a covenant to ensure that people know that he wants them to prosper. So that's what the gist of the book is really all about.
Well, you know, I have a large following, and not everyone are Christians, but one thing I do know is the principle of sowing and reaping remains the same across the board. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. And the thing about it is that you don't have to be a Christian for these principles to apply. It's just that I wrote the book directed towards Christians because they're the ones who are struggling the most. Statistics
exactly.
Show that if So here's this doctor out of one of the Ivy League universities who did a study, and she proved that Christians are some of the poorest people of all the religions. And that is a problem, because we say we serve this mighty God. So really my book was centered towards Christians, because they're the ones who really need it. The secular world understands the power of money. The secular world understands the importance of money. But the church itself is struggling with coming into the idea that God wants us to prosper. They still think it's a bad idea, which is really just bad teaching over the years.
You know, it's interesting you should say that, Sean, because you have individuals who've actually left the church because they felt that them having money and church was not able to coexist under one. And that's totally untrue, because the Word of God says that He wishes above all that we prosper, be in health, even as our soul prospers. So, you know, financially we are to prosper. Financially, we're supposed to live this life at ease. We're supposed to be better than those non-Christians, supposedly.
Exactly. We are, I mean, as Christians, I'm talking to the Christian community. The Christian community, actually, because you serve this God who is supposed to be the ultimate God, and the God who is the God of everything, and the God who's the supplier of everything, the one who owns a cattle on a thousand hills, then if you serve this mighty God and you call Him Father, why would a father let his children suffer? There has to be some disconnect between the father and the children. Because as a mother, my job is to provide for my children. I don't want to see my children in lack. So I go above and beyond to make sure they have. The problem is my children, especially if they get to a certain age and beyond baby food, you know, they have to now choose to accept what I say. And that's where the breakdown is. It's not that God has changed. God is still supplying. We are the ones who are not receiving. And I want to say this to the people who are listening, who may be Christians. When God created the earth, according to the book of Genesis, He called seven things. He said it was good. Every time He created something, He said it was good. But the eighth time God called something good in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, it was gold. And gold represents what? Wealth. And he talked about all the things in the land, but he said the gold of that land is good. So if God is calling gold good, then why are you running from the gold? Obviously, It's a lack of knowledge. Now, to the secular world, of course, I mean, look at the shows on television. There's Gold Rush. I watch it. And I'm excited to see how much gold they find and how much it's worth in money. The world is excited about it. Why aren't Christians excited about prosperity when we're the ones who say we want to do so much good in the world? You can't do good without money. You can't touch anybody's life without money. That's why money is so powerful. You got to have it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you're the president of Empower to Prosper International.
Yes.
How did that come about, and what is it that your company does?
Empower to Prosper International is a nonprofit organization that is centered around teaching people how to prosper. And when I say to prosper, I'm talking about how to live a balanced life and have wealth, and how to create wealth, and how to enjoy that wealth when you get it, because a lot of people are struggling with their relationship with money. And when I say people are struggling with their relationship with money, I'm talking about the fact that people can make money, but a lot of them cannot keep money. So a lot of people are living what we call in poverty. Now, according to the United States definition of poverty, there are statistics that justify whether you fall into the poverty bracket or not. But I'm not talking about a statistical bracket. I'm talking about the definition of poverty. If you were to look into the Oxford Dictionary, one of the definitions of poverty is to have increased income but without the benefit of that income. And when you think about the fact that years ago you were making $8 an hour and you were getting by on $8 an hour, now you're making $20 an hour but you're still broke. And that is an example of poverty. You have the increased income, but you've lost the benefit of that. So what is going on between the $8 and the $20 an hour? There is a disconnect. And it all has to do with the person's relationship with money on a psychological level. And that will be my organization is geared towards teaching people how to recognize the behaviors in their lives that are causing them to lose the benefit of what they're supposed to have. Now, on the other hand, I try to teach people that prosperity is not just money. Prosperity is to be empowered or to be equipped for your journey. That's really what it is, because when we come into this world, we come in here believing that we're on a journey from the time we enter to the time we exit. We're living a life, and it's a journey. To prosper means to have what you need to complete your journey while you're here. So if you're struggling every day and can't make ends meet, then obviously you're not prospering because you're not equipped for your journey. So the whole idea of the organization now is to bring you into an understanding that, yes, money is not a bad thing. It's not going to destroy you because, and Christian people especially need to hear this, if money was so bad, we would all be doomed to hell because the devil would have made sure that we all got so much of it that we would forget about God. The fact that we're still struggling.
Not only that, Sean. Not only that, mm-hmm. Sean, if money was so bad, why are the Christians going to the center to get it?
Isn't that something? They're asking for donations, and I'm happy you brought that up because I own several businesses, and I never forget one time I was doing business with someone secular in the music industry, and this pastor criticized me and said, you should not be doing business with those people. They're of the world, and you should not have them in your establishment, et cetera, et cetera. And then a couple months later, I got a letter from his church requesting monies from me to sponsor his teenagers going on a trip. So I called him up and I said, now, what monies do you want me to use to help you send your teenagers away? Because if I give you money right now, I'm giving you the money I collected from those guys a couple months ago. Are you sure? You see, I had to make him to understand that doing business, there's nothing bad about doing business that is of integrity, that is moral and ethically correct. Now, that is how the world exchange funds. I exchange my goods for my services for money. If I'm not selling something and if I don't have something you need, then there's no need for you to spend your money with me. We have to stop, and not just we, I'm talking about Christians in particular right now, we have to stop thinking that God is going to send miracle money from heaven. God has given you gifts and talents to exchange for that money. What are you doing with your hands, your mind? What are you doing with the thoughts and concepts that come to you to create the wealth that God wants to give you? You can't just sit there and say, God is going to do it for me. So here it is, I establish a business so that people who need my services would give me their money. That's mm-hmm. their business practice. So here it is now. He's asking me to give it, but he criticized the avenue through which it came because he didn't like the vessel. I'm not here to judge the vessel. I am here to do credible business with credible people, and my job is to love, not judge.
For those of you that just tuned in, I'm talking with Sean Saunders, who's a motivational speaker, author, and financial expert, along with my co-host, Shirley Carter.
Sean, I'm listening to you talk about doing business in this world and starting multiple business. Now, I wanted to ask you about the multiple business. Again, it ties into having multiple streams of income. In starting your multiple business, are they all connected in some way, or each one has a different, totally different from the other? You know, when I asked that question, like you were working with someone in a secular world, and I know in your resume you talk about your research and other businesses that you have. Did you start one and then it led you to something else, or did you think of them all at once and just then decide to start them?
Well, no, actually I started one. Well, before I even started, the first successful business that I started was the pharmaceutical research business. And I want to tell people this. I started many businesses before the first one became successful. So it wasn't like I tried one thing and boom, it worked. I tried several things. But this particular one, the pharmaceutical research, became the first successful one. And after I established that, I developed what I call the purpose money. every time I made money in my pharmaceutical industry, I had a purpose for where I wanted to invest that money. So that led into a second business, which is real estate, because no one thing for sure, the world is not creating any more land, so I figured that I'd better just own some of it to make sure that, you know, to secure myself in some way, form, or fashion. And so I researched it, and then so real estate became another form of investment for me. So these things develop as I begin to study my environment. I change things as the environment changes, as the atmosphere changes, as the world changes. Then you begin to realize that every time something changes, whether it's good or bad, it's an opportunity for business. So you have to always just be keen to what is the movement and be willing to move along with that. So that's how I've started several businesses. Now, my businesses are not all related. Pharmaceutical research has nothing to do with real estate, and even the nonprofit has nothing to do. I mean, it all just doesn't connect, only on the level that I'm a person who believes that you should not live daily with one income, because if one income is threatened, then your whole lifestyle is threatened, your whole well-being is threatened. You should always diversify to make sure that when one is up and the other is down, you still can continue living. So that's basically the practice that I try to teach in my classes.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that. And you just said your classes, so you teach a class as well?
Yes, I actually have a series that I teach called Empower to Prosper. And what I do is I take people through a series of classes, teaching them on the importance of money, why it's necessary to prosper, how they can go about prospering without being stressed about it, and how to create wealth without being stressed. And so, I do have some classes that I teach, and, you know, for those who want to join up and stuff, you know, because there are a lot of people who have ideas, brilliant ideas. I know people who have money but don't and have an idea but don't know how to move forward. So the whole idea is to bring you into an understanding of yourself first and then get you to move forward with what your passion is. So I operate on what I call the principle of moving in 3D, which is moving in desire, determination, and discipline. I teach my students never to move forward with anything that you don't truly desire. If you don't have a passion for it, don't do it because the other person is doing it. Don't do it because it sounds good, but do it because that's your passion. Because if it fails, or even if you don't make money, you still want to feel good about what you're doing. And then I teach them they have to be determined. Determination is what is going to keep you going when nobody else believes in you, because people may not believe in what you're doing. I've had people who have told me that I was not going to be successful, but that determination, that fire that was burning inside of me is what kept me going. And then, of course, discipline means you have to now be willing to change the things about yourself that have kept you from the destiny that you want to arrive at. Be willing to change whenever needed, and be willing to accept the criticism to get you there. So that's it. We move in 3D, desire, determination, and discipline. And you can do it in every area of your life, not just for business, also for your finances, for your relationships, everything.
Excellent. Val, you know, we talk about that a lot, you and I, about, you know, when you're walking in your purpose and your passion, that's when you're willing to do things that and feel good about it, even if you don't get paid for them. And so we can identify with the 3Ds that Shawn is speaking about.
Yeah, and I like the fact that she brought up about her being a female owning some property. I was at church a few years ago, and our bishop was talking, and he was like, if you want to obtain some wealth, buy some land, own a piece of ground, because that ground is not going anywhere. And that, you know, kind of jolted me, Shawn, because of the fact that, you know, I was a single woman and I was renting, and it just never dawned on me to buy a house as a single woman. I felt, you know, the only people that owned homes were married people. And the married people that wind up divorcing were the ones that were single in home. So it just never dawned on me until I heard that. And I was like, oh,
you know, I had money in the bank. And I, after that, I went and started looking for some property. Do you find in your travel, Sean, that a lot of individuals have that same thought process that I did?
Absolutely. A lot of women, unfortunately, especially if they're single, believe that they should not move forward with certain life decisions unless they have a mate. And that is so wrong, because what you're doing is putting your life on hold for somebody who may or may not come, and then that person may or may not see life the way you do. I always encourage, please, you know, when you go into a relationship, you should not really go with anything missing. You should go in there whole and complete, meaning that you know who you are. You are whole even if the person never came. You can function and prosper by yourself. Anyone that comes into your life really should be an enhancement to what you already are. So buying property, one of the things I encourage people is your first property, and this is one thing I teach my class, try not to make your first property a dwelling home, because a lot of people tell you a house is an investment, but a house is really not an investment unless it's not an asset, really, unless it produces income. If the house is something you have to pay a mortgage on every month and keep maintaining it every month, it's a liability because it doesn't produce anything for you. And if you don't go to work, that means that you may lose that home. I always encourage them to buy rental property first. Live in one of the units. Let the tenants help you pay the mortgage. When it's paid for, buy yourself a home and pay your mortgage with the money from the rental property. In that way, if you are sick for 6-7 months, it doesn't matter, because your tenants are paying your rent, your mortgage. You're not bound to having to run to a job because you have to keep the roof over your head. And a lot of people go out there, a lot of financial advisors tell people, listen, by the way, I want to tell people, I'm not a certified financial planner. I'm not an accountant. I'm a person who has learned by living my life that there are certain things that just don't work, even when a financial planner tells you to do it. You have to do what is comfortable for you. My thing was, I didn't want to have to work every day of my life for the rest of my life. I wanted to be able to stay home if I feel like it, and I wanted to be able to enjoy my life. So I had to start thinking, where was that money going to come from? I need money every day. And I decided that it would be better for me if I had income property more than I have a home. Now, I do have a home, but income property was more important to me initially. And so as single women, I don't want to be a landlord because I don't want to be liable. Well, there are companies out there who will manage the property for you. You don't have to be bothered. But the thing is, find a way to get other people to pay for your life, the legal way, instead of waiting for a man to come to pay your bills. Find a way to use your money to make your money make money for you. And that's some of the strategies that I try to teach people. I tell the women, instead of you spending $900 on a Christian Louboutin shoes or $1,000+, how else could that money have made money for you? Because once you've worn the shoe, I mean, what next? The shoe doesn't increase in value. So it's a mindset. Again, like I said, I'm dealing with mindset here. People have to learn how to spend the money to make money. We're all making money every day. But where is the money going at the end of the day? What do we have to show for it? If you're a single woman out there and you're listening to me, yes, I am single, and I'm single by choice. Not because I could not get married or because somebody did not want to marry me. I've been engaged several times, and I'm not married by choice because I've chosen that I want to do certain things by myself without having to feel like I needed to be someone else to be my crutch. And at some point in my life, yes, I will share my life with someone. But when I come into that relationship with a person, I want to be able to say, hey, listen, this is what I have to offer. I don't want you to come in my life to try and fix me. There's nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken here. And for that reason, I am content to wait. So, yeah, I mean, waiting on a mate is one thing, and then waiting to invest is a different story. But you can't wait on the mate to invest. life will pass you by quickly.
Well, having money is power and allows you to move throughout life in a lot of different businesses and corporate arenas and stuff. And I wish that when I heard that message, I had your teaching along with it, Sean, so I would know how to utilize my money and invest it properly, because I know I probably didn't do the right thing as far as investing it, because I put down $20,000 when I bought my house, which I did it because I figured it'll make my mortgage less. So, you know, there's people that didn't do the right thing because they didn't know how to do it, but because you have courses and information on how it can be done, can you give out your information on how individuals can reach you or how they can be a part of your classes you have?
Well, I'm on Facebook, and Sean Saunders 3D. I have two pages on Facebook. One is the personal, one is the professional, I guess is how they call it. And the information is on my Facebook page. Also, the website is Empowered to Prosper 3D. .org, and usually I post on there when I'm going to be doing the next set of classes. And you can also find me on Twitter, Sean Saunders 3D, and Instagram. So there are times when I post things about it. But I want to say something here, Dr. Valerie. A lot of people don't get it right. I didn't get it right. You know, I learned as my pain. See, I learned from my pain. By making mistakes.
Wow.
And knowing that my financial advisors were not always right, and realizing that at the end of the day, I am the one who had to live with the decision of the loss of the money. And then I had to stop and ask myself, Sean, what is the life that you want to live? And once I answered that question, I started moving in that direction. And so what I call is I started developing a purpose for my money. If I wanted a house, if I wanted to build a new piece of property, and I decided I would go straight ahead not knowing how I'm going to pay for it because I don't know what it costs yet, I would just go forward, call the architect and say, hey, this is what I want to do. Put together this XYZ and let me know how much it costs. Once I know how much it costs, every penny I earn is towards that. So I don't have money in my hand that I don't know what to do with. I already have an assignment for everything when it comes. So if somebody says to me, well, Sean, you know, you must have a lot of money. No, I don't have a lot of money lying around. I have purpose money. There's a saying, Solomon, who was supposed to have been the wisest man, and, you know, he wrote Proverbs. And in Proverbs he said, in all like getting, get understanding. And then he says wisdom is the principal thing. But then he also goes on to say wisdom with money is even better.
Wow.
What I want to say to a lot of people out there is this. You cannot, a lot of people right now, the big deal is this person don't respect me and the next person don't respect me. People respect you based on a number of things. One of them is your knowledge, and the other one is the size of your pocketbook. You could be a fool and have nothing excellent to say, but if your pocketbook is pretty good, people will listen to you. If you want respect, you have to gain wealth. People will listen. So why not be an educated person with money rather than a fool? Because let me tell you, a fool is still a fool. He's just going to be a bigger fool with money. And we have to now learn how to invest us into ourselves and gain the respect from what we do with what we earn. There are so many people out there, when they look at how, you know, I can walk into a person's home and I can spend 5 minutes and I can tell you how they spend their money. And I will say, wow, I can't believe that person spent all that money in that house and have not invested in themselves. Because a lot of us spend money on houses, we spend money on cars, we spend money on clothes and shoes, pocketbooks. But we invest very little into expanding our knowledge and trying to figure out how do I gain a piece of this world that I live in. I'm not a big, I mean, Dr. Mallory, you know me. I'm not a flasher. I don't spend money. I mean, if you see me, you would not believe that I have anything because I don't dress like I got anything.
Yeah,
because
me
I don't have nobody. You know, I don't have anybody to impress. My thing is, at the end of the day, can I hold my own? And if you challenge me, can I stand my ground? And I know that I can. That's my confidence. And you can't shake that. You can't take that from me. I try to teach people, and I'm happy you brought me on this program because, as you know, in April, we're going to be doing, I'm doing with Dee Thompson, the Purpose Never Dies. You know, everybody's talking about purpose, and there's so many stuff going around about purpose. And I was a person who had already established a multi-million-dollar company. I didn't know what my purpose was. Mm-hmm. All I knew was that I wanted I wanted to be successful. But successful for what? You can imagine you have a multi-million-dollar company, but you still don't know what your purpose is. That was me. I had to regroup and then come into an understanding that, you know what? I need to get more people to understand this thing. And that's where my passion is right now, teaching people the power of money, how powerful it is. Why do you think people are dying for it? Because they want the power. But if you can have money in your hand, Dr. Valerie, just think about you. Imagine now the people in the world you can reach with your program with just a little bit more money, not even a ton of money, just a little bit more. Think about the reach you can have and the lives you can change, the pain you can alleviate with more money. The suffering, the woman who can't feed her baby, you can say to her, it's okay, I got you. It takes money to do that. It takes money to go to the food store. And the church, unfortunately, is not educating its people on the importance of having money. The church is the number one influencer in the lives of a lot of people. Unfortunately, it has influenced them to believe, wait on God. Look up, and what they say, you suffer here while you wait for the pie in the sky. When I study the Bible says God wishes that you would have days of heaven while here on earth. I don't hear no preacher telling me that. How will you have days of heaven here on earth when you can't buy food? Children are suffering, children are dying, people are uneducated, people are sick. And lack of money is affecting how we reach them.
And one of the things that you talked about was the fact that, you know, people are wanting more and thinking that they can, what do you call, perpetrate being royalty by what they have, by having a car they can't afford, clothes that they have on credit, purses and bags to keep up with the Joneses and so. So how do you recondition a person who's used to doing things like that the old way as opposed to reverting into the new way? Can you give like a little tidbit of some of the things that you teach in your session?
Well, one of the things I teach is offense. One of the things I'm very good at is offending people. And I offend people because I realize the power of offense. When a person is offended, they can become defensive or they can become submissive. Some people will defend and say, and they will get angry and they'll say, that is not true. How can you say that about me? I'm not that kind of person. Then the other person say, you know what? I never thought about it like that. The power of offense is that offense, believe it or not, if you were to really examine offense makes you recognize what is the problem that needs to be fixed, either in you, in the situation, or in the person who created the offense. So I always teach people, if I offend you, pause for a second and say, why did what she say bother me? What about that made it bother me? Because when you begin to dig deep inside, you will realize that I probably offended you because there is an unresolved issue inside of you that you have not dealt with. I'll give you an example. When I was doing my master's degree, I had to understudy with a psychologist, and he made a statement that we were all in that class because we could not be doctors. And I personally was offended by that. And I was like, he was a doctor, and he's telling us we were in his class because we could not be doctors. Nobody in the class reacted to it, but I did. I mean, I went off the cuff on this man. How dare you say something like that? If I wanted to be a doctor, I could be a doctor. Da, 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 da. And when I was finished with him, his class, what did you just witness? And the class said, you know, nobody wants to say anything because they're afraid I'm going to go off on them now. But he said, you know, that was what you call a dissociation. She lost touch with reality just now.
Wow.
And what I realized after talking to him was, I had a childhood dream that I wanted to be a doctor. But because my mother could not afford it, I had to give up that dream because I did not have the money to go to college to be a doctor. When he said that, he triggered that pain, which was in my subconscious. And I realized that I had an unresolved issue in that area. So I had to go and deal with that. And that is what I do with people. I will aggravate you, and I will find that area that will make you respond. And when you respond, I ask you, why did that hurt? Why did me saying to you, you're wearing these clothes and faking it till you make it, offends you? Because you know within yourself that you want to be more than the image that you are presenting. So you're hoping that people accept you for the person you really are not. I will get to the bottom of your problem because I will aggravate it out of you. Because offense is powerful. Offense teaches mm-hmm. you so much about yourself. Sometimes there's nothing wrong with you, but something is wrong with the person. Maybe the person don't like you. And then now you know, don't deal with that person because they are not going, they're not operating in your best interest. Or maybe I'm not understanding the situation properly. But offense is one of the most powerful things I've learned to use. Because it will help you get the what I call delivered from yourself. It will help you get over you. I have people get offended with me all the time. You know what I do when I realize they're not going to come to an understanding? I simply say to them, you know what, I'm sorry I offended you. You know, that won't happen again because I realize that I'm not getting through to them. I just apologize and move on. But think about that. Anytime somebody offends you, stop and say, I'm not going to react. Let me self-examine and see what you find out about yourself and see what you find out about spending money. Because our relationship with money is directly related to our first experiences with money, even from as a child. If you grew up with lack, the tendency when you receive money is to buy everything you were denied when you were younger. So you overcompensate for the lack. If you grew up in a household where money was no big deal, whatever you want, just buy it, then you're a person who will just spend your money frivolously. If you grew up in a household where mommy or daddy gave away everything when the neighbors came over, you will be a person who will more than likely give away everything you work for. And if you grew up with a mother like mine, my mother worked very hard for very little money. So, of course, when I started working, I worked myself to the bone. And came home with very little money. I had to learn how to be paid what I'm worth. So these are triggers that I teach in my class to self-examine. Because if I don't change your mindset regarding money, it doesn't matter how much money you make. You're still not going to have anything at the end of the day. How many football players and basketball players you know, when they retire broke.
Broke.
Because they have no proper relationship with the money. All comes
wow.
down to the psyche. And that's where
wow.
I get to the bottom of, right down to the matter. So I'm not a well-liked person, I can tell you. A lot of people like me, but a lot of people don't like me. But I will get to your problem. And if you listen to me, you will learn how to make your money, how to keep it, and how to enjoy it.
The Power of Money with Shawn Saunders, motivational speaker, author, and she is a financial expert because she gives you practical steps to release you from yourself, from that financial poverty that you have circling around you, that you're dwelling with and living with every day, right, Shirley?
I'm listening to her go through all these steps and everything, and it's so empowering, Sean, because you are giving us nuggets that you have tried. And like you said, you started a business, and you used your first successful business to, you know, like counsel you into just being this woman with so much power and knowledge about finances. And you're walking in your purpose because you haven't stopped. You are still reaching and changing lives. So that is awesome that you are taking what you have and you're sharing it with us, and anyone that is willing to come to your 3D class and learn from what you have learned yourself. You don't have to have a degree in it. And like you said, you're not a certified financial person, but my God, I've dealt with some of them before and I've failed. I've lost thousands of dollars. But I'm They took the money. Yeah, you know about some of my situations and some of the things I've gotten involved in. And, you know, these are people that were supposed to have been financial advisors, and they made money, but I didn't. And, you know, so I've dealt in that area before. But listening to you, I'm taking notes and everything, and I hope our audience is too. And especially being able to reach out to you under the Sean Sanders 3D and follow those 3Ds. I guess I was following some of them, didn't even realize how much I was into following them, and that's how I've been able to maintain. Because I know Val and I talked about when the recession came in, we said we refused to participate in it. And we didn't.
Yeah.
And we had no financial advisor. We refused to participate in it. Now, we said those words and we stuck by them. And we are still standing. But I'm not going to participate in that.
The hardest thing with money is, first of all, we need to get over the fear of money.
Yeah.
And especially within the Black community, there is a fear of money. We don't understand it. We're afraid to admit that we don't understand it, and we don't know who to go to for help. And in my book, I talk about this. When you are a person of lesser knowledge, in the animal kingdom, you would be considered what they call a prey. And you would now go into an arena where you are surrounded by people who can be predators. And so here it is. You don't want to be exploited. So you're going to stay in your corner with your little that you have and don't want to open yourself because you don't want to become a victim. And I talk about this in the book. You know, there are preys out there and the predators are out there. And the only way, and it is sad that a lot of pastors don't understand this, the level of respect that people have for them in their leadership position. They don't use that position to empower people to prosper. Instead, what they're doing is telling people, give your money to the church. God is going to take care of you. In Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added. Just take care of God's house. God's going to take care of you. Well, then let me tell you something. God already taken care of you. He didn't create you in this world without knowing how the end was going to come about. He's not figuring it out as we go along. God created you a whole being. So you are the one who have these gifts and talents. God gave you the money. What are you doing with it? The church needs to step up to the plate, especially within the Black community, and say, listen here, guys. These people are credible. Let me have them teach you what to do. Why isn't that the church have nonprofit organizations that teach people how to prosper with their money? They're already a nonprofit. So if you have people coming in on a volunteer basis to advise people what to do with their money, there's no profit to be made. You're teaching my people. I am the shepherd and teach my sheep how to prosper so they can raise up out of the bounds of poverty. Why can't you do it free of charge? Because when these people prosper, they're going to take care of the church. They're going to make sure the church bills are paid. You don't have to beg them and you don't have to have a bake sale because they have the money. They're not going to let you fall when you're the one who's responsible for making sure they got their education to prosper. But you can't tell people, give your money every Sunday, don't give them something back. What are you giving them back in return? Because of the influence of the church, I believe, needs to step up to the plate and say, you know what, we need to fix this. How many churches have financial advisors sitting right in there who would volunteer on a dime free if they were just given the opportunity? We don't have to walk around ignorant. We're ignorant because nobody's teaching. And then, two, now when you're broke, how are you going to pay to come to a class to learn about money?
Right.
When you already work jobs. It's a vicious cycle that has to be broken. You will not get respect unless you have money. That's the way the American system works. I come from the Bahamas. So in the Bahamas, we were not on a money thing. We were on a class thing. It was, what class are you? Who are your people? Who are your family? What is your family name? Over here, it's a different story. When I came to America, I came here because I was recruited for a position at Mount Sinai Medical Center. And so when I came to America, I was recruited out of my country, came here with a work permit. So I didn't come here looking to create a future. I came here already a professional. And I was like, wow, this country is bringing me in here. What happened to all the people in America? They can't do this job. But apparently there was a shortage. So I came in to fill a gap. And ever since then, I've always wondered, why is it that more people are not... Education is literally free in America. Literally. But how many people will tell you how to get that free education? Not many.
I was just about to ask you, how important is educating yourself and reinventing yourself for success?
I'm a strong believer in education, but I'm a believer in directed education. I don't believe that you have to have a college degree to be successful. I believe you need to be educated in the field in which you want to prosper in. That is where you
Amen.
Can put your energy, especially if you are an adult already. Why would you want to go to school and do a four-year degree, and at the end of the day, that four-year degree is not going to tell you how to do your job? The only thing a four-year degree proves, and I know there are a lot of educators who may get mad with me about this, but the only thing a four-year degree does for you is teach you how to be disciplined, how to stick to a regime, and how to finish it. But the reality is, how you do your job when you come out of school is determined by how you are trained on that job.
Right.
You don't come out of school ready to do the job.
Right.
You still
exactly.
have to. So why not spend your time training specifically for what it is you know that's your passion? So if you're into computers, then study computers. Were you going to go do social sciences and forget that? I mean, come on, why are you going to do a class in psychology for a whole semester that has nothing to do with your desired goal? Nothing to do with it. You're an adult already. That's for when you just come out of high school and your parents are paying your way, you go and do your four-year degree. If you didn't do it, then forget it. Go and do the specific thing that will get you to where you need to be. And as you are in that and developing that, then you can now take the time to learn things to broaden your mindset and broaden your horizon so that you become a holistic person, so you can conversate properly, so you can interact with people properly on different levels. But initially, I wouldn't tell no adult who's already out there working hard to go get a four-year degree. I mean, what you going to do with it? Some of the wealthiest people in the world never went to college.
That is correct.
I get a degree because I need it for what I do.
That is absolutely correct.
And I don't mean to offend people when the education thing, but when you're dealing with, you know, a lot of schools, and I see schools popping up all the time, there are tons of them advertising on TV. School has become a major business. But you need specific training. You already have children. You have a family. How can you go to school for a four-year degree? You have to focus. Seriously focus on your goal. And condition your mind for where you're going.
So bottom line is they need to know what their purpose is in order to move forward on their goal.
Exactly. Exactly. If you don't know what your passion is, if you don't know what you are here to make a difference in, then you can't, you're going to be doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You know, I've done a ton of stuff. I mean, I tell people I'm jack of all trades. I can do so many things well. Because like I said,
I know, me too.
I didn't know my purpose. So my thing was, I'm going to try this, I'm going to try that. And then one day I discovered my passion. I was passionate about doing research. I loved pharmaceutical research, still do. And I can do it every day and never feel like I'm working. The good thing is I make money doing it. But then when I started to see the level of poverty, the level of ignorance, how much people really don't know, that gave me a different. So I don't believe anybody have any one fixed purpose. I think your purpose shifts as you grow.
Yes, as you grow.
And so my, yes, my purpose has shifted to trying to eradicate poverty and ignorance. I don't like ignorance, and I really will speak strongly about it. You know, I have to always put a lid on my mouth because I tend to interject things when I should not. You know, for an example, I interjected into a friend of mine about buying his son, giving his son a Samsung tablet at 6 years old. When I'm a person, I'm a stickler for education. I believe children need to have a strong foundation. So I opened my mouth and spoke inappropriately because it was not my child. I really should not have. And I had to turn and apologize for that. But it's because I'm so passionate that I cannot stand ignorance. And I see that a lot of people are dying right now because of the frustration that comes with ignorance. And I also see that there is a certain set of people in society who will never respect you because they know what you do not know. I don't care how fancy your car is. I don't care what you wear. The minute you open your mouth, they already know that you don't know. And so you cannot gain their respect no matter what you wear. The only way to end, and I'm going to say this, I didn't want to go on the race card, but the only way to end racism in America is to level the playing field through education, through knowledge, I should say, wisdom and money. Everybody in America don't respect nothing but money. So you have to now say, you know what? To be like the Buddha lady said, the lady who was divorcing the very rich man, when they asked her, the woman who divorced Donald Trump many, many years ago, Trump, Ivana, they said, are you mad? And she said, I get mad. She said, don't get mad, get everything.
You're right.
And when she said that, I love that. Why get mad about what is going on in society? Educate yourself, empower yourself, get your money and take over. So you are the decision maker. You don't have to let somebody tell you how it's going to be. You fix it. What are you getting mad for? What have you done to change it? If I walk up to you right now and say, I want you to take over my company, are you equipped to do it? Are you an opportunity that is waiting? Or have you missed it? You know, in my book I said, I'd rather be ready for an opportunity and not get it than to get an opportunity and not be ready. And that's what's happening right now. People are not ready for opportunities, so they're being passed. And frustration builds. And tempers flare. And then things get out of hand. So don't get mad. Everything. Learn how to get the power that comes with money. And make sure you get the wisdom of how to use that money when it's in your hand. And then you have respect.
Right. Money, money, money. Everybody wants it, but you know Nelson Mandela said money won't create success. The freedom to make it will. And we're here in the land of the free, a land of opportunities. And, you know, we have the power to change our circumstances and change our future. But it is also said that a fool is known by the multitude of words. You hear a lot of people talking loud and doing nothing, and they're broke, broke, broke. So, Sean, we're ending the close of this hot topic from the soul, the power of money. Do you have any last-minute tips? And I wanted you to give your email address or website or how individuals can order your book the Covenant of Peace and how they can participate in some of your upcoming classes?
What I tell people is, you know, never give up being hungry. Always desire more. Always desire to be more than where you are right now. Because when you stop dreaming, that's when you start dying. I would tell you that there's nothing more liberating in the world than to have the power to choose what you want to do in a day. And once you taste it, you'll never want to give it up. Don't let anybody dissuade you from your dreams. If you want to get in touch with me, my website is Shawn-Saunders.com, and you can order my book online there if you want to. And then I'm also on Twitter, Shawn Saunders 3D. Facebook, Shawn Saunders 3D, and my email address, believe it or not, I believe it's info@gbminternational.com. That's G as in girl, B as in boy, M as in Mary, international.com, info@gbm.com, and my phone number is 954-727-5331. So feel free to contact me and you know, even send me an email if you want to ask me questions. And I hope I offended some people today, because then I'll hear from them and then I could get into dialogue with them. That would be fantastic.
Well, let me get one caller. You got 60 seconds. Caller ending 1239. You have a question for Shawn.
Yeah. The name
of
our
book? You have a question for Shawn? Yes. Excuse me?
Yes, the name of our book?
It is The
Covenant
of Peace.
The book is called The Covenant of Peace.
And
it's,
okay.
It's also available on Amazon and iTunes and Kobo.
Okay, let me try one more. Caller 2175, you're live.
Hi, this is Marie. Thank you so much. Will you give out the telephone number again? Classes off.
My phone number is 954-727-5331. That's 954-727-5331.
Okay, thank you so much. That's all the calls I'm going to take right now, Shawn, because we want people to contact you, go to your website and peruse through there and see all the information that you have that will help sustain them and create the life that they want to have. So, I again thank you so much for joining us on Hot Topics from the Soul, and we look forward to having you back again.
I appreciate you having me. I truly appreciate it, Dr. Valerie. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much again.
Thank you. And remember, individuals that are listening, you can connect with Shawn through Facebook and Twitter. And always remember, do what you love, and money will always follow. Thank you so much for joining Hot Topics from the Soul. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.